It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Good morning and welcome. You list the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and all these Jethro FM stations. Glad you are up and at it. Get your cup of coffee. Sit down and buckle in, because we got a good show for you today. It's tailgating season. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, it feels like tailgating season, too. It was 50 degrees this morning when
I
got up.
I know. I love it. A little snap in the air makes that hunting season it feel like it's coming, too.
Sure does.
Yeah, good stuff.
I last weekend went up north, went to Torch Lake with a wife and some friends, and on the way up, we went separately because she can't get enough of it, and I can only have X amount because I had to work, and, you know, she left Thursday night. I left Saturday morning, went to the hunting property, moved my trail cam, had a heck of a time finding the trail cam. I was like, you know, moved it several times, and it's like, was it this tree? And it's full of foliage, and there's picker, you know, you're walking through the stuff, and of course, I got my knee boots on because there's a lot of poison ivy in that spot. And, man, I got my workout in, but I finally found it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the deer are kind of colorblind. You can put, like, an orange camo strap on it so you can find it next time.
Should probably do that. But, I wasn't getting any good shots. And so I'm looking at all the fresh prints. And I said, okay, I see where you're going now. Because they change every year, you know.
Sure.
And I spun it around a little bit. Same tree. Bang, 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 bang. They were all behind the camera the whole while. Had the cutest spotted fawn yesterday morning.
Still spotted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big and spotted. It was like enlightening.
Yeah.
I just love watching them.
Oh, yeah.
No bear yet.
No bear?
No.
That's a good thing. I did a barbecue up by Broman up there, just like White Cloud, Broman area. And we were sitting at a... We're sitting at their table, and the guy pulls up his camera and his phone. He's got four cameras in the woods that are all fed to his phone.
Right.
Three of the four of them had a bear on them.
Wow.
And but you know,
that area, Broman. Yeah.
There might have been some food going on there, because one of them was he'd seen all these bear before, and it's a young male, and he was literally laying on his side scooping the food to himself.
Eating like me.
Yeah, laying down, man. It was crazy to see. But
hey, real quick, years back when we were still cutting deer out of the house in the garage, I took pictures of this because I knew nobody would ever believe me. Thanksgiving weekend, one of our neighbor gals shot a deer, brought it in. She's like, yeah, I had the scope turned up. It was huge. Honest to God truth, it still had spots on it. Thanksgiving weekend.
Wow.
So that's a late born.
Those
deer.
Are the golden vibes of Mr. Tim Sobey.
Yep.
One of our great sponsors joining us today, because we're going to talk tailgating and deer hunting, and you got to have the meat man with you if you're going to do that. So thanks for joining us.
You bet. And beer hunting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, there's always that. I'm much better at that than deer hunting, right?
I can vouch for that. He's a good nap taker too.
Right. Yeah. Right. Maybe.
And he'll help you take a nap, too.
Right.
Only if you're not careful.
Yeah, it's only comfortable.
He'll get you sleepy.
Right. That's that beer hunter in me.
Yeah. So I want to mention also Thermopen, which will be on the show shortly in a couple of weeks. They've got a lot of new products coming out, but they've got the sale going on for Time to Stock Arama, 35% off. The trio, check out thegrillingguys.com and look to the right and look for ThermoWorks. Look for one of those yellow logos says ThermoWorks. They're the makers of Thermopen.
Right.
And they're made in Utah. Good products. Great company. They've got two specials. One ends September 9th. One ends September 8th. So you have very little time to get in on it. But it's nice to save 35%.
These are great products. Bob and I use them all the time, not just because they're a sponsor, but because they work.
Right.
And there's a variety of things on there. But, you know, people often ask, what are the best tools that I should have for my barbecue?
And
number one is a high-quality thermometer, so you can read the temperature of your meat, because that's the number one problem with people's grilling is they overcook things.
You know, probably 10 years ago, they sent us our first samples.
Right.
And the one I had had these flames on it. And
yeah, I remember that. I had grill envy on that one, man.
Envious. Well, that thing still works beautifully. And well, I have several others. So when I was with my brother-in-law, Paul, the plumber that I take hunting with me down in Jonesville, he lives, I was with him a few months ago, and I was watching him grill, and he was overcooking everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him a nice little grilling steak lesson, and I gave him that flame embroidered.
You clearly love him more than you do me, because I've asked for that thing a dozen yeah. times.
I hope he's worth it.
Yeah, right.
He is.
Exactly.
He is. He is. He's a good man. But anyway, the other thing you need to do, not just a thermopen, but if you're a good griller, you got to hit Sobey Meats.
Right, exactly. You're here in Michigan.
There's evidence sitting on the counter.
Right, yeah.
And in the cooler.
Yeah. There we go. But we'll talk a lot more about that as we move forward, because you can't tailgate without some great protein. And Tim is the king of protein.
Like meat sticks and jerky.
Right, yeah. What's wrong with any of that?
A lot of people don't make their own jerky. They just like to buy it.
Right.
And you got to be careful where you buy it.
Yeah.
Because it varies widely.
So we just got off the holiday weekend last weekend. And we did a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday entertainments. Right? No big groups, 8-10 people.
No traffic jams.
No traffic jams. Everybody got in the driveway kind of thing. But we did 4 different cookouts, and from simple brats and burgers all the way to a brisket and everything in between. But I wanted to talk about the brisket, because the buddy of mine slaughtered his own steer, right? And he pulled the brisket off it, and he's an accomplished griller, but he said—
He did it, or he had somebody process it?
No, he did it. He processed the whole thing. Himself. It was that one I showed you a picture of, giant hanging steer. They couldn't lift the quarters, 2 guys. I mean, it was a giant steer. So long story short, he brings me the brisket a couple weeks ago when he's in town. He lives up in White Cloud, and it's frozen. So I thaw it out, and I'm going to cook it, and it's maybe like 8 pounds, but it's just the flat, right? That's what he brought me. So I'm thinking to myself—
Smart man.
Right. I just want to cook this thing. About 10 hours, get it to the 205 internal temperature. Well, I put it on at 2 in the morning thinking that I'm going to get it done at noon. They're showing up at 1. It'll have time to rest. Well, I put it on my big green egg, and I had that thing dialed right into 275 degrees. My thermal pen woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning from 2, and it was already 165 degrees. It spiked on me. And it went to like 350 degrees in an hour while I was sleeping.
How long have you had that big green egg?
Yeah, I know. And
how much fuel did you have in it?
Very too much, evidently. But it was very little. But
there's
lump
there's
charcoal.
A good lesson. Now here's a guy who grills all the time, and you can still make those simple little mistakes because you're Russian. It's late at night, or let's say you're Latvian. Nah, just kidding.
Yeah,
but. You're not paying attention to how much fuel you put in.
It's the middle of the night, right?
How much fuel you put in, and that is a big deal.
Right.
Especially with a charcoal burner. I don't care if it's a kettle, a big green egg, or any of those things. That's a big, that's key.
Right. So what I did to save the day is it's at 165. I wrap it in butcher paper, and I put it in a hotel pan, and I took it in the house. Because it already got all the smoke it's going to get if it's up to 160 degrees. I took it in the house, put the oven on 190, and went back to sleep. Got up at about 7 in the morning and left it in there till about 10. And now, you know, then I put it back on the big green egg and brought it up to the 205.
Just to fake everybody out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, right. But it was...
Because it was still hot.
Right, yeah. I had to do the quick audible because that thing was going to be done, and I didn't want to leave it rest. At you know, being done for 7-8 hours before we
well,
you could have, but
several
we
things there.
Yeah, yeah,
it was just a flat.
Right, right.
So that in and of itself is like a big difference from a full brisket.
Right,
because you've got an inch and a half piece
right.
of meat.
Yep, exactly.
Versus 4.
All right. Well, coming up next, man, it's tailgate season, and we've got Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats with us for the rest of the show, and we're going to talk all kinds of things that are good to eat that you can get at Sobey Meats. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
And now, back to the Grilling Guys Show.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's Saturday morning. Grab your coffee. Strap in, because we're going for a ride. I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob, and Tim Sobey's in the studio with us. I got a meat stick in my hand. It's going to be a great day.
Yes, is that yours or is that one of ours, meat stick?
It's crunchy, so it's one of yours.
You can't say that.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is good. This is one of my favorites. I love the cheese in there.
What are we eating, Tim? Tell us about it.
It's our Smokies with cheese and maple syrup. Mm. So it's it looks like a baby meat stick. But it's actually our breakfast sausage, and then with the maple syrup and Wisconsin cheddar in there. And they're good anytime. And if you're doing that morning grilling thing, sure. I'd say it's an early game. You're already getting together with the neighbors, et cetera. Put those on. You have kind of an eye opener, and they're awesome. If you get, even if it's a tube biscuit, if you don't hand make your own, put them in a tube biscuit with that. Oh, man, you're living large.
What's that?
Like a hamburger bun or a hot dog bun?
No, like you get like the buttermilk biscuits in a tube.
Yeah.
Oh, tube.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Not a tube steak, but a tube biscuit.
I thought he was saying two biscuits.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Two biscuits are good.
Right.
Depends if she spent the night with you or not.
So the other thing that you could do to make... that one just sunk in. The other thing you could do to make these great is do a pigs in a blanket type thing with this. Just make little pancakes. Heat these up first, make your pancake, wrap it around it. You just eat it like a sandwich.
Ooh, yeah.
God, that's good. You can dip it some more syrup.
Sobey's breakfast sausage is really good. Mm-hmm. You can buy it, the links.
Right.
And you can use those around with the crescent rolls wrapped around them.
Oh,
that's a fantastic pig in a blanket. Yep. Throw a little aged provolone on there. Oh, my.
Would you cook those breakfast sausages a little bit first before you wrap the... So the 10, 12 minutes they're in the oven is enough to get the breakfast sausage done?
Do it all the time.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay. Because I just weren't worried that it didn't get cooked through, but if it does, it does.
Well,
I've never done that
like that. It's Sobey's ground pork, so 145 is just fine.
Yep.
You know what you're getting.
Right.
Now, if you're getting sausage at the big box store, well, shame on you.
Yeah, and cook it better.
Bring it up to 200.
Right, yeah.
And that's good you taught me something today, too, because I'll be honest, we always do the Smokies in the pigs with the blanket with those two biscuits, right? I would have thought the same thing. There again, there you go thinking again, putting the raw sausage in that. That's awesome.
Well, and your sausage is so lean that you don't get a lot of fat. You don't get a lot of grease out of it. So you're not, you know, ruining it like you would a real fatty, like big brand sausage.
Yeah.
You get so much grease off it.
Yep. So it's good. It's good. So tailgating, guys, let's start at the beginning. First of all, let's talk about a little bit of food prep and food safety.
I thought you were going to tell us Adam was a tailgater.
Well, I don't know who Adam is, but Eve's...
The beginning.
Oh, in the beginning. I caught it there at the end. But I think that food prep and food safety is something that we got to talk about. Tim, I know you have tons of raw product in your operation, and give us the fundamentals of, if I want to bring some hamburger and I want to cook it 4 hours later, but I leave at 6 in the morning to get to my tailgate because we got a noon kickoff, And is there, and I want to make it ahead so it's easier when I get there. What do I do with that burger to make sure that it's still fresh and good and I don't have any problems? Is it as simple as just keeping it cold, or has you got any tricks for that?
No, it's simple as keeping it cold, but that's the biggest thing, you know. Keep it cold, and it's going to sound silly when I say it this way. Keep it cold till it's time to start getting it hot, right?
Right.
And then when you're done and it's hot, keep it hot till it's time to start getting it cold. So you got leftovers, make sure, you know, you want to get those chilled afterwards. But certainly, and, you know, we have a lot of boxes of gloves in the shop. Even if you use something, if it was a piece of wax paper or something you had with you while you're doing your grilling, something like that to touch the meat and then just throw that away because you might not have clean water. Or if you got a box of wet ones, keep with you. Just the biggest thing, just, man, clean up. You know, you touch raw. Get it off your hands so you're not cross-contaminated.
Speaking of cleaning up, I'm cleaning up on this piece of jerky. Tell me what I'm eating here. This is
That's the hillbilly
wonderful.
Jerky, yeah.
Is it?
I'll tell you what. Another one, you got that tailgater thing. Take a couple of pieces of that and throw it if you're grilling or you got a Blackstone or whatever you're doing and warm those up just a titch. Tastes like it just came right out of the smoker.
Ooh, yeah. Kind of almost rehydrate it a little bit.
Yeah.
Warm it up.
Yeah.
It'll get a little softer.
This is my favorite jerky that you make.
Yeah. That's our number one seller, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Give us the profile on that, because that's another great thing to take to a tailgate.
Yeah, so that there's just a little bit of heat with that. Nothing too hot, but, you know, it has just a good
wonderful.
General, like back in the day, like the original jerky, not a lot of pepper in there, of course.
Because it's hillbilly.
Yeah, because it's hillbilly.
Yeah.
Mountain Williams.
Right, yeah. That's exactly it. So additional safety is with your cutting boards and your tools and things. If you're using raw meat, a lot of people like to do like chicken kebabs and things and make those ahead. And we'll talk about recipes in those in a minute in the next segment. But just when I've got chicken or I've got raw pork and I'm handling it, I've kept it cold. Now I'm there, right? What's the... What are your recommendations with regard to cutting boards and knives and things to make sure we're not getting people sick?
Cross-contamination.
Cross-contamination.
Yeah. I would, especially chicken, and I guess if somebody was going to say, well, that's not the manly way to do it, okay, we're still alive. But right. I would really encourage you, if you're, let's say, chicken kebabs, build them at home where you have hot soapy water. You
Great
can get
point.
Everything cleaned up. And then even if you take those, wrap them in foil in a plastic bag because it's going to be in the cooler.
Right.
And when you take them out, have something else. If it's there again, you get a glove or something else to touch that raw chicken kebab to put it on the grill, on the smoker, and then you use tongs after that.
Right. So if you the point that I want to make right there is don't use your tongs to reach in the bag to pull out the raw chicken and then go to flip something that's already on the grill.
Right.
Right.
Or you're grabbing that raw chicken. Now you're reaching into that bag of jerky. Now that
right.
guy just contaminated everything that's
in the
raw.
Jerky bag. Yeah.
And we tell
it won't
our
kill
employees,
you, but you'll be on the can.
Right.
You'll
and
be
and
on the can.
That's not good when if you got to wait till halftime. Right.
Yeah. And we even tell our employees treat chicken like poison. If you touch poison, you wouldn't touch anything else.
Right.
So it's on. It fell on a counter. Whatever that is, the knife, cutting board, treat it like poison.
Right.
Because in essence, when it turns to salmonella, it is.
Yeah. Right. And it isn't going to kill you, but it isn't going to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Right. Either. So just with regard to breads and cheeses and things, those travel pretty good.
Yeah,
but again, a bread's a piece of sponge, right? So if you've got something bad on your hand and you grab a bun right from handling something raw, just know that you could cross-contaminate, and that's going to cause problems to your guests, and nobody wants that. I mean,
no.
it, even accidental, I get it.
Even
happens,
your glass.
But, right, yeah. Great point, Bob.
Yeah.
Your beer bottle or your glass, because if you handle it with that dirty hand, and then you take and take the glove off even, and now you're handling it with the hand you're eating with, it's going to happen.
And make sure you change your bottles and cans frequently.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
that's
right.
the best you thing know, you've
the best
said so
safety
far.
Tip.
Yeah, right. Speaking of which, I think the meat man actually brought some beverages this morning, too. So coming up in the next segment, we're going to dive into maybe some of the more fun recipes and things to eat at a tailgate. but you always got to wash them down a little bit. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each every week. It's the Tailgate Show. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Tailgate Show. It's already happening. The things that go on between the segments are often better than what we're talking about on the radio. But when
that's
you
not
got,
hard. It's yeah, a low you, bar.
When you got Sobey in the room, there's always goodies. And
you won't leave hungry. I'll tell you that, or thirsty.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Bob, because I got my first bite of hillbilly jerky, and I just want to savor it a minute while you and Tim talk about all this other stuff.
Isn't
that's on
that
the
wonderful?
Table.
I've told Tim for a long time that that is my absolute favorite jerky that he makes.
Mm.
It just and some it's so popular. Sometimes I go in there and there isn't any. And I get really, I get happy feet. I'm like, what am I going to do? But yeah, that one's, it's my opinion, just dialed right in there. So cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers. Good to see you. Woo-hoo. Good to see you.
Tim, what kind of cut of beef is this?
That is, actually, flank was, typically we were using flank, mm-hmm. but this is actually pectoral meat.
Hmm.
And the pecs, you know, is up where that brisket meat is. So it's a part of the bottom of the plate meat, and
okay.
they call it the pectoral meat, and it's just full of flavor like that flank is.
Yeah, that's exactly why
you get
I
a really
know.
Good beefy flavor.
But you're not your Jack Link's junk that you find at the gas stations isn't going to taste like this, guys. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
No, but in Jack's defense, for doing what he's doing, I figured it out a long time ago. He's in Wisconsin. I met him. I was at the bar with him once. they had a Texas Hold'em tournament going on, and I just walked in and didn't realize what I walked into. But I put two and two together because it's like, it's Wisconsin, dairy cows. He sends out a ton of beef. He kippers it because it's a dairy cow.
Yeah.
So in his defense, that was pretty brilliant, and he's got more money than me.
Yeah, but
and he's got Sasquatch with him,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's everywhere.
No, but this hillbilly jerky is a real deal. If you haven't ever had it at Sobey Meats, Remembrance Road, northwest side of Grand Rapids, you got to get over there and try it.
Talk about.
Go ahead.
Talk about this breakfast beverage you just gave us.
So this is from one actually right around the corner here from the studio, Pike 51 Brewery. In Hudsonville Winery, and Steve Geikema, they get meats from us for their restaurant, and they just finished this off. It wasn't even kegged yet.
That's
this
a beauty.
Oktoberfest. And,
nothing better than fresh beer.
Oh, my gosh, and this is so good. He said, Tim, this is the best batch we've ever made. And I said to Steve one time, I said, there are some craft beers I'm not a real fan of.
Yeah.
But as I told him, I said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I've never had an Oktoberfest that I didn't like. There's something about Oktoberfest that I love. He said, next time you drink it, think of the smell of bread just coming out of the oven and the taste of fresh bread. And in doing that, there's a little bit of that quality in there, but it just has a really nice finish to it, and this is a beautiful, beautiful beer. So
it is, and beer is liquid bread.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of the same skills that go into bread making that go into beer making. We've had many brewers here, and and have shared that with us. So, Bob, what are you doing right now?
And remember, you're killing my diet. Absolutely killing it.
Look, Tim, are you twisting his arm?
I am too.
I don't see you doing that, and I can't reach him. So maybe we're
not. You got alligator arms. You can't reach anybody.
Right, but maybe we're not. So what are you making there,
You've
man?
Got this smash sauce. I'm tasting like dill relish and mustard, and it's like perfect for a smash burger.
And here's the smash seasoning. Put a little of this on there, too.
Oh, I want to try it just like this first.
Here, hand me that smash seasoning. All right. I want to, because I try seasoning without, so.
And he's a local guy also.
What is it?
Yeah, his name is Tony, and he has a line of smash seasonings, hibachi and this one, and for wild game and fish, and a line of popcorn seasonings and the smash sauce. And it's not just because he's a local guy, but I'm telling you what, he's got it going on.
That sauce is unique.
Yes, and with the sauce and then even with the seasonings, we sell more of his smash seasonings than any other of those types of seasonings in our shop.
And it's good. I just put a little bit of it on my finger, the burger seasoning that you've got here, and it's got just a little bit of bite to it, but it's very good. And so many times when you get seasonings out of a bottle, they've over-salted them. And it's so salt forward. This one's not. It's a powder. It's ground very, very fine. And
he even put a little sticker on top that says burger.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So when you're looking in your, I don't know about you, Bob, but I got 100 bottles of seasoning, right? And you got two or three go-tos, right? I go through pounds of Tim's blend. That's good on everything. You know, but every once in a while you find a good one. And we did smash burgers, but I did them with Tim's blend this weekend.
And as I always do, too, but I thought, we're featuring that coming up. And then Tony's going to be at our shop with his Blackstone, and he'll be doing sliders. And you can try all his seasonings and smash sauce and everything. And just, again, just a wonderful, wonderful young guy. And anybody that thinks it's easy to be in business, go out and try it sometime and see how easy it isn't. And these guys have been very diligent, and it's an uproad battle all the way, and they're committed. So they're really doing a great job.
Especially in this segment, there's even at your store, there's a wall of sauces and seasonings.
Yeah.
Right? And every one of them, somebody has sacrificed a lot of time and energy to try to put a product on the market that's really good. And
I can tell you all about that.
Right. And then it really comes down to personal taste.
Yeah.
Right, is what it is. And what do you like? And for this, you know, the smash sauce is $9 a bottle, but on the other hand, it's really, really good. Right. So, but a lot of guys will walk by that saying, you know what, this is an 8-ounce bottle for $9. Boy, that seems a little high until you try it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing that you got to do. You just got to take the plunge, man. And
that is unique sauce.
Yeah.
That is.
And then even if just with that one sauce job, as you hit on, $9 for that, well, then if you tried it, thought, wow, I think I'm going to try to create it, but this product gave you the inspiration to come up with your other one.
Right.
Now, how many $9 are you going to go through trying to make it right?
Right. Yeah. Well, when somebody already did it.
And it's $9 now, but I bet you a couple of years ago it was $5. Because all the ingredients are just, everything's gone up so much.
Hey, it's coming up. It's going to be on sale at Sobeys for $8. So we're going to give you a dollar off. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. That's huge. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I mean,
And don't even think of washing that down with some of that Oktoberfest beer. Mm. You won't like it.
You know, it was always my favorite time of the year long ago when Samuel Adams Oktoberfest came out. It was like when Oberon came out. It was like, you know, there's a reason to have a get
to celebrate. Yeah.
So tailgating, that is what this segment's about, or I guess the show maybe. But I'll talk with my mouth full.
Don't talk with your mouth.
Right. What Tim just brought in, very simple tailgate, will be a super hit. I've got shaved roast beef. You can get it right in his deli.
I still don't understand what cut you would call that. If you were cutting this and buying it, what would you call it?
The cut of beef is from round. That's top round.
Oh, that's
round.
From round.
Yep.
Okay.
Boy, that has a pretty nice marbling for round.
Yeah. And the other thing real quick, most of the commercial roast beefs, they tumble them. So they almost have a rubbery quality about them. We don't tumble ours. We just season it and then put it in the smoker. So it actually has a grain and a little bit of, I'll say a little bit of pull to it.
And that's like why you shave it against the grain thin.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So got a sweet roll, like a Hawaiian roll. These are Pepperidge Farm, but Tim brought them from the
slider
store.
Buns.
The smash sauce. I put a little bit of the smash seasoning on it. That's it. And this roast beef. Giant hit at your tailgate. And this one's easy. It came together in a minute. When I started doing it, you guys didn't even know I was doing it, and then I'm eating it.
I was watching you. Yeah.
Do you sell this as a whole muscle?
So yes, we do.
What do you call it?
Top round.
Top round.
Yep. And then some people, that's the second version of London broil. Okay. So the original London broil was flank steak.
Right.
And then when there wasn't enough flank steaks, they started using top round. But
well,
this
there's
is
a lot more deli. Round than there is flank.
That is true. Yes. Yeah, and then this is our deli roast beef. But
wow, that is so good.
All right, coming up next, I'm going to continue eating, and Bob and Tim will continue the show. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at WealthyStreetBakery.com and also at HallStreetBakery.com.
Gotta feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys, and we appreciate you tuning in. We're talking tailgating, but right around the corner is deer hunting. And you got to get ready for camp. They're cousins, a tailgate and a deer camp. They're not the same.
They conflict.
But they do. You're right. Once October rolls around, football season's full swing, and so is deer season.
That's why we have a TV at deer camp. We don't do any tailgating during deer season.
Or that's why you have a trail cam when you're watching the game.
There you go.
Either way, it worked.
So a lot of people take their deer in to get it processed. And if you've ever been to some of those places, you'd know why it's not always a great idea. They don't refrigerate. The weather's too warm sometimes. They've got them stacked up. You don't know if you get your deer. So if you want to do your own deer, let's talk about a basic step-by-step as to how a guy can take care of it. And then I'll finish up with telling you how I've progressed.
Okay. So first thing I would say, especially like last year, opening the bow season, it was in the 80s, right? As I said, we were out there with our camo skivvy drawers on, you know, trying to deer hunt. So if you have extra cooler space, but most guys, you're bringing a pickup, you have some extra space anyway. Yep. I would really encourage guys to, whatever that bottle is, if it was a water jug, whatever, make some blocks of ice in your freezer.
Yep.
Then, you know, you're going to chill down beer and everything else, of course, but bring some of those blocks and leave them in that cooler. And then if you get a deer, once you've pulled the hide off it, and if all you did was pull the back straps off it, kind of like filleting a fish, think of going down the left and right side of the spine, pull the back straps out, take the leg muscle off the two thighs for steaks. And if you're going to grind the rest, just pull those pieces out. But you can put those parts and pieces in the cooler with that block ice, right? Then it won't just be bags of ice, and then it's going to be swimming in water, right?
Which you don't want.
And the rule about how many hours, if you're tracking a deer, how many hours, if it's, especially if it's not, even if it is cold out.
It doesn't matter, and we've shared that story. It was below zero. A neighbor of ours, it was a roadkill deer that he saw it die, backed up, threw it in the vehicle. So it was 10 below zero in his truck all day, like a deep freeze, and the deer's still sour. They're so well insulated. You have basically a four-hour window to get the guts out of them,
open them up. So you need to zipper that thing. You need to have a good knife, and if it has a gut hook, that's even easier because you can literally use it like a Ziploc or a zipper and just go right down and get that center cavity opened up, get that stuff out of there, and don't do that at your camp. Do that where you drop it because you don't want the critters will love it. It's just a feed pile.
Mother Nature has a way of taking care of those things.
Yeah, possum and the coon and the vultures and everything. They need to eat too.
Clean it. And the flies, all that cleans it all up.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And then if all you did was then take those, let's say it's warm now. So even if it's going to be in 60s, 70s, last couple nights, we're getting in the 40s. That's good. Right. Remember when we want to tell everybody, hang them head down, not head up like they do in the magazine, head down. They'll bleed out good. If you have the ability to rinse them out or wipe them out is good. If it's too warm, get the cape off them, chunk them out, and get them in there.
I would
cooler,
say even if it's
it
not
down.
Warm, get that cape off while it's while that body's warm.
Yeah,
get that because it pulls off so much easier. But they sell these really cool. It looks like a coat hanger and a pulley system.
Yeah,
a gambrel, I think they call it.
Yes, thank
gambrel,
you.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful way to hoist your deer because if you're throwing a rope over a branch, let me tell you, that 150, 180 pounds is going to be awfully hard to lift up.
350 now.
Yeah,
all that friction.
Yeah.
So if you have one of those gambrels and pulleys, and I have several of them, hook it on there and hoist that baby up, and you can even skin it on that.
Yeah.
It just makes everything so much easier. So if you have a good deer cleaning kit, it'll very often include a meat saw, which is really just a hacksaw, stainless or chrome. And get those. I like to take the legs off right above the elbow or the knee.
And those you can do with just a knife.
Yeah.
You don't have to use a saw for those.
But that's a good point, and that's probably how I do it.
Yep.
But I like to take those off and leave them when I dress it, when I gut it. So I leave that right out in the bush.
And if you have little kids, then you save those two front hoofs, put them in the freezer. Then Christmas morning, you go out in the snow and you put little hoof prints out there. Not that I ever did that for our kids growing up.
So how do you cover up the big guy boot prints that are right behind them?
Santa chased it away.
Yeah.
So I like everything you said. I've morphed it accidentally last year. I skinned it, boned it, bagged it, and iced it.
And that sounds like a rap song.
And I didn't get to touch it until like 4 days later when I got home. What I discovered was in skinning it and cutting it up the way I did, that thing bled out better than any time I've ever hung it.
Mm-hmm.
Because those muscles just don't, there's too much connectivity there. You don't bleed out an animal well enough if you're just hanging it. I've tried, all sorts of gross things that I won't mention on the radio. This was the absolute light bulb moment for me because there was so much blood. I was shocked.
Yeah.
And that meat was actually a lighter color. But here's the best part. It tasted like the best beef you've got in your cooler.
Sure.
There was no wild taste there at all.
And where'd you get that deer from?
Deer camp.
Why, deer camp, of course, but I mean, what part of the state?
Oh, Hawkins.
Okay. So
just south of you.
Yep. So there's some corn over there. So even, heading north, boy, they get around corn and some of those grain things is way different than if it truly is, let's say, a UP swamp buck where they're just getting the cedar boughs and acorns.
Yeah.
They travel so much, though. I think the only time they have to worry about the cedar and all that stuff is when maybe the rut's on and they're hiding out, or the pressure's coming from the hunters. I for the most part, there's a ton of hay fields and stuff in the UP.
Yeah.
There's lots of good vegetation. So I don't necessarily subscribe to that anymore either, because I've had some tasty big bucks from the UP.
But the point is, you are what you eat.
Yeah.
When it comes to
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. You go down to Hillsdale County where the monsters are, and they got a ton of corn. There's no doubt about it. They're fatter. But I'm just saying, I think the deer travel so much that they go to their food source, and maybe in the dead of winter when they're hunkered down somewhere and the snow's too deep, they're stuck eating crap. But all summer long, they've been all over the place eating quite well.
Yep.
So want to circle back to tailgating, because there's a part of Tim's store that's one of my favorites, because this takes a lazy job and makes him look like a hero. It's dips. You've got all kinds of dips and salads in your deli section. And tell us about a couple of them that sell really well.
Oh, this is a new one.
Yeah, that's a new one, too.
Jerky con queso.
Yeah, so,
I've had your jerky dip.
Yeah, so we got the jerky dip, and there's another one. You know, if you had like a metal bowl or something to warm some of that up, you're doing that tailgater.
Right.
Put that on a cracker warm, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The clouds will open, the angels will weep. And then we have some of the jerky and the con queso dip also.
Straight from the Vatican, this
right,
one.
Yeah.
That's like the three rings in marriage, right? There's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I'm, yeah. So, Tim,
Teresa told me that one.
So this,
yeah, sure she did.
So I've eaten pounds of your jerky dip. I take it everywhere I go. People love it. But this,
it's so unique.
It's this con queso. What's different about it?
Well, our con queso dip is a little bit of that, let's say, Mexicali flavor in there.
Okay.
So it just gives it
a little bit of a cream cheese base.
Yep. And just kind of switches that up a little bit. Some different seasonings in there.
Oh my gosh!
All right, Bob, hand it over.
That is beautiful. No, I'm not handing it over. No way.
Yeah, man.
You're going to have to fight me for it.
All right.
You got to give Conrad some. He's...
I know he's salivating on the board over
there. Poor guy's over there. He doesn't even have a microphone today.
No, that's okay. He doesn't need any. He won't like it.
He's losing weight as we speak, watching us eat, right?
So, Tim, we've had sandwiches. We've had meat sticks. We've had jerky. We've now had dip. And our friends at Pike 51 provided us some beer. Where can they find all of this? Where's Sobe Meats, man?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Yeah. Northwest side of Grand Rapids.
I wish I could tell you how many times I just described you again yesterday to a guy who isn't that far from it. Well, he lives in Holland, but he knows the area. He dialed right in on it, and I started explaining everything, and he started talking about his butcher shop, and I said, well, it's like two or three of those put together. He goes, all right, I'll go.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got 70 feet of meat. That's all I'm going to tell you. It works. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker, create some grill envy in your neighborhood, and we will talk with you next week.
Oh, yeah.